One emphasis that we love talking about is just encouraging people to get involved in the local church. I don't know about you, but my dad grew up as he was a pastor when I was growing up. So when your dad is a pastor, I don't know if you know this, but you are automatically a volunteer in the church. You don't have to wonder if you're going to be there. You don't have to sign up on a list. And so as a kid, I just grew up doing that, and I knew I was called to the ministry, and so just did all kinds of things. I remember I went to Bible school and graduated from Bible school. I knew I was called to preach, and the church called me up. They said, "We want you to come work for us." This was great. And they said, "We want you to start cutting the grass." Not so great. It wasn't the dream that I had. And so I did that for a number of times. Couple of seasons there, and just kept getting promoted. I wound up working there for about 8.5 years. I volunteered there in the church, volunteered all kinds of different departments. I worked the traffic, worked the parking lot. I worked with the youth, worked with the children's. I worked with the prayer group. I worked with the Sunday school team, just a little bit of everything. You name it, chances are I probably did it. The one thing I didn't do is I didn't do any Christmas lights. My church is famous for Christmas lights. They put up about 2 million Christmas lights every year. But God was good to me. I didn't have to work on the Christmas lights. They do so many Christmas lights. They start in September just to get them all up. They'll have about 125,000 people come look at the lights over the course of the next few weeks, you know, once they turn them on. But everything else, though, I was a part of that and did that. And just in the middle of just serving and working, Holy Spirit just kept teaching me. You know, I started out as an usher and didn't really know how to talk to people, didn't know how to greet people. The Holy Spirit, sometimes he has a sense of humor with you. Have you ever noticed that when he's helping you, teaching you about things? They put me at the biggest door you could find, the main door. I was 19 years old. They said, "We want you to greet everybody." Everybody? I don't know how to do that. The Holy Spirit is great. He will help you. He will teach you. He will just bring you along. And it's in the middle of working there, being faithful, all of a sudden he started to kind of tap me on the shoulder. "Hey, I have something different for you." You know, there's something great just about being faithful right where you are. I believe that every single one of us have a dream on the inside. We've got gifts and talents. We want to use them. We want to use them for something great. We want to use them for God. And sometimes there's one of the lessons to learn is how to be faithful with what's in front of you and still hold on to the dream that's on the inside. And I've worked with a lot of people that kind of gave up what was on the inside. "Well, I'll just keep working here." And then there's other people that held on to what was inside and just never gave their best right where they are. But the Spirit of God is great about just giving your best right with what's in front of you. So we love teaching about that, encouraging people, find a place, do something, something great. I remember, so I came into the youth department, and I was ready to take on the world. "I'm David Fleming, and I am great." Right? What can you do? "I don't know. I'm 22. I don't know what I can do." And they said, "Well, we're having a garage sale." And I don't really like garage sales. But in the months leading up to, you know, getting into the youth, you know, the Holy Spirit started to talk to me. He told me, "I want you to show up every single service, every single time." You know, the kingdom of God is based on faithfulness. Faithfulness. You just keep showing up, and you just keep showing up, and you keep showing up. And so now I know why he told me, "I want you to keep showing up." It's because I got garage sales. I didn't want to be a part of that, but I showed up anyway. I know other people love garage sales. You know, my idea is you've had it for a while and you're getting rid of it. I'll take your word for it. I probably don't want it either. That's kind of how I view it. But I understand I'm maybe not the norm. So I'm just staying away on Saturday mornings. Leave more for you. Amen. Helping you out. But it was a group of us that just started to work together. It's about 14 of us. And it's in that group really where things started to kind of take shape and just kind of go in a larger direction for me, stronger direction. People started to speak out into my life. And I started to recognize different things about other people. Do you realize how different we all are, even in this group right here? And one of the amazing things that the Holy Spirit is able to do is he's able to take all of us, different people, different backgrounds, different views, different ideas, and he brings them together in the local church and builds them into a one group. It is powerful what he's able to do. There's something great about getting in and working together. You've got a number of projects. I was kind of poking around back there. You got a number of lists, things to sign up on. There's ministries to be a part of. And there's something great that comes together when we use our resources. If we get past what's convenient to that point of where we're committed and we're going to do some shoe boxes, right? You've got 1 week left, right, to get involved and do something and for this group to come in and just make a difference there. Got a month left before the marriage retreat, right? Or actually less than a month, probably 2-3 weeks here, right? You know what's going to happen in that marriage retreat? Spirit of God is going to come down and he's going to touch all those marriages in-house, right? God is the biggest romantic in the universe. This was his idea. And he's in the business of growing strong families, building strong families. Do you realize here that in the ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth, the very first miracle that took place was at a wedding, thereby showing the significance of how God has ordained men and women to come together, husband and wife. The very first miracle took place there at the ceremony. And in fact, if you read that story, something happened in the middle of it, or Jesus came through and just performed something just amazing. The second half of that wedding ceremony was even better than the first half. That's a sign to you that the Spirit of God can touch your marriage. And the second half, come on now, the second half can be even better than the first half. Right, the whole world understands the honeymoon phase. I remember when we got married years ago, we had a trip. We went on a trip, and we were excited. We just told everybody, this is our honeymoon. We got upgraded on the rental car. We got upgraded at the hotel. We got upgraded at the restaurant. Everywhere. Yeah, honeymoon. We had favor. Why is that? Because he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And the whole world doesn't even understand it. And they just get in with you and give favor because God has decreed, this is what I'm going to do. In fact, the relationship that he compares Jesus Christ in the church, he could have picked any relationship. He picks marriage. Jesus Christ and the church is like the bride of Christ. There's something powerful that happens. So what's going to happen is that you're going to come to this, and the Spirit of God is going to touch you, and he's going to do something strong, something great. And the purpose of this is because one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. So the purpose of you guys coming together is there's an agreement that comes in. And the Spirit of God is going to nudge you, and you're going to come together, and you're going to work with your spouse, and you're going to begin to agree. You're going to begin to pray together. Hey, something's not right. Let's agree together. The Spirit of God might even encourage you, write this list down. Let's agree together over our families. Let's agree together over, and all of a sudden things are going to ripple through in your life. The Spirit of God is going to use you in your world. Right? And so for the people that don't have somebody yet. Well, you got 2 weeks to find somebody. That's probably a little quick. Might be a little quick. But again, the Spirit of God, I believe God's the biggest romantic in the universe, right? So if you qualify, they say in America, it's right at 48, 49, 50% of adults are single in America. That number keeps increasing, keeps growing. But I believe the Spirit of God is interested in bringing somebody to you, right? He uses your will. Do you want somebody? He puts that desire on the inside. He can do some amazing things. He can do some wonderful things, bring somebody into your life, get you squared away. So many verses there in the scriptures about the Holy Spirit helping somebody to find somebody. Do you realize then the story of Isaac? Isaac is the child of Abraham. Came later in life. Isaac is looking for a wife. Holy Spirit delineates 67 verses to tell you the whole story about how Isaac found Rebekah. And I love the conclusion of that story. Rebekah is, she's part of the family, but she lives in a different part of the world. So they go find her and bring her to. So she's riding the horses. She's coming in. And the scripture tells you that she sees Isaac, right? The man she's accepted before she knows who she is. She sees him in the field. And the scripture says she actually was so excited she fell off the horse. Have you read that before? She fell off the camel. She was so excited at that. Scripture tells another story about prophesying Jesus' return, and it's the story of Ruth. Ruth is looking for somebody, and Ruth finds Boaz. All right, Boaz is a picture of Jesus. He's a picture of grace. So all through Scripture is full of that. Anyway, so that's what's going on in your church. Put a little plug in there for that. What we have is a relational gospel, and you've got something. And so we come, and we've been worshiping this morning. Did you receive something from the worship today? We're going to show you in the Word of God. You receive something, and what it does is it impacts your life and just brings about such a change in your life. You become a different person simply by getting a revelation of Jesus Christ. One of the things it draws you to do then is to help somebody else. You can't separate that from our gospel. He said in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And when you get a revelation of Jesus Christ, what happens is you become nicer, right? We're nicer today than we were a year ago. Come on now, right? We're going to be nicer in a year than we are today. Hallelujah. Right? That's what the revelation of Jesus does for us and does to us. It draws us out. And so there's something great about finding your place in the local church. Coming along, you begin to discover things about yourself, begin to discover things about other people, and then you become part of the group where you're helping to meet and find and discover things that God has placed on the inside of people. Come on, we need you. This is a great time for the church. This is a great time to show up physically in the church. Come on now. Something powerful happens when we get together. I know there's times we got to watch online, we got to see things online, and we glean from that, but something great happens when we can just grab you and touch you and look you in the eye. And I believe the Spirit of God is doing something. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say, we need you. Come on, turn to your another neighbor, say, we really need you. Let's look at a couple of verses. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul is writing out this great treaty. So Jesus in his life here on earth, he's crucified. The disciples don't quite understand what's going on. He comes back from the dead, just like he told them. And the disciples are thinking to themselves, this is great. Do we overthrow the Romans now, right? How great. You're going to follow this guy into battle. They can't kill him. That's the guy I want to fight with. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand what happened. Hold on, something much bigger than we've defeated, not just the Romans. We've done something greater than that. He said, listen, I am going back to heaven. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to reveal to you. He's going to take everything of me and show it to you. Apostle Paul comes along, and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to him. And here in the book of Ephesians, Paul begins to write out, here's what happened when Jesus was on the cross. It wasn't just him that was crucified. God put you in Christ. He raised you up with him. And so when he shows you on the inside, what has happened is that God has forgiven you of all of your sins. Now you have the right on your own to come before the Father because of what Jesus Christ did for you. He said there's something else going on, though. He's also joined us together. He raised us up together, made us sit together. And he's taken people that before we were in strife, not working with each other, trying to take advantage of people. And he said, God's bringing us together. We now sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So how do we fit together? How do we work together? Well, Jesus said, I'm going to start my church. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I'm going to help you. And now for the purpose of the church is for everyone to come together and be a part of this body. And he said, I'm going to put gifts in the church. So we start reading there in verse 11. He himself, Jesus Christ, placed in the church. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now he goes on to say, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to grow. It's not just enough you become born again, right? This is wonderful, but you don't just become born again and then remain a spectator on the sideline. Just wait until you get to heaven. No, there's a family business you are invited to be a part of. What is the family business? God is not willing that any should perish. More for people that need to know about this. So once you begin involved in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you realize, Paul says there, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He goes on to paint this picture, so we should no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine with the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Oh, boy, right there. Boy, we could camp out on that phrase just for a few weeks, couldn't we? Speaking the truth in love. Have you ever wanted to tell people what you thought? Maybe, maybe not in love. Surely I'm the only one. You guys are wonderful people here today. Just me. Man, I've had that. I just was ready to. I'm going to straighten this out. Stand back, Holy Spirit. I'm going to fix this right here. Speaking the truth in love. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will nudge you and say, just be quiet. I got a great story how I met my wife one time because I kept my mouth shut 2 years before. Yeah, I was at work. I wanted to straighten somebody out. I thought they were being difficult. I'm going to fix this, right? And it was hot outside, and I'm getting hot, and I'm standing in line, waiting my turn, and the Holy Spirit's like, just, whoa, down, easy, easy. Go get a drink of water. So I walk off and come back, and there's no more line, and Holy Spirit's like, just be quiet. So the guy at the window, I kept my mouth shut. And then I got promoted into that department 6 months later. I'm not sure I would have been promoted into that department had I straightened things out. And I learned so much from that guy. And he wound up running a different department. And I got promoted. And his department helped me out. And he had an employee there that I got to know, and they invited me to a graduation party. You know, come meet our roommates. And I met somebody there that day, like, hey, won't you meet my other friend here? You know, and I met them, and we became good friends. And then another friend one day said, hey, I got another friend. Her name's Erica, coming to hang out with us. Now, she's the girl that I married. I didn't know that. Right? But I kept my mouth shut one day, and it just kept getting promoted. Speaking the truth in love, the Holy Spirit is going to help you. Speaking the truth in love. We'll move on. We can spend weeks on that passage. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Everybody say grow up. In all things into him who's the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, this causes the growth of the body, edifying of itself in love. So when you come into the local church and you find something, right, how do you get started? Well, just find something and do it. Find a need and meet it. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Sometimes you'll just kind of be nudged. It just seems good to help somebody. You got a desire to help somebody, to be a part. Somebody else comes up alongside and says, hey, we need some help. Why don't you come and help us? So many ways to get started. What you're looking for is life, following life. Why did I insist on just helping in the youth? I don't know why. It just seemed good. I didn't feel called to youth, not called to be a youth pastor. I had no idea, but what happened is I volunteered with so many people that have invested in my life. Good lifelong friends now for 30 years. The Holy Spirit doesn't always tell you when he nudges you, go do this. He doesn't tell you everything that's connected to that. And he didn't tell me that day, be quiet, because if you'll be quiet today, you'll meet your wife in a couple years. Right? If he'd have told us the whole thing, we'd all be quiet, right? He just sometimes nudges you, say, hey, don't do that. Let's change this. Let's add this. Let's add that. Follow those leadings. There's life behind that. There's something powerful that happens when we all come together. Something great. And in fact, he says, let's go look back in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We referenced this before. So we started out in verse 1, Ephesians 2, 1. He made alive. You were formerly dead in trespasses and sins. Right? Walking in the way of disobedience like everybody else. Verse 4, but God is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad God has been merciful to you? The Bible says he's rich in mercy, not just kind of halfway tolerates you. Doesn't kind of smirk when you walk in. You again, huh? What happened now? No, the Bible says he's rich in mercy. In fact, I think it's one of his favorite qualities about himself. He is merciful. He prophesied through the whole Old Testament, the time is coming, I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to be merciful the way I really want to. In the Old Testament, they established the law, and he stayed with the law. But the purpose of the law was to point us to Jesus Christ. The purpose of the law was to for you to figure out on your own, I can't do it by myself. Have you realized that? Have you figured that out? That's how you got born again. You realized, I need some help. The harder I try at this, the worse I become. Right? One step forward and five steps back. I need help. And he's like, I got just the one for you. The purpose of the law was to bring Jesus in. But God kept saying, I'm going to be merciful. The time is coming. I'm going to establish a new covenant with you. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to not remember any of your sins. I'm going to wipe them clean. He's rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us. He doesn't just halfway tolerate you. The Bible says that his love for you is great. In fact, it is so great that it has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. You cannot logically conclude 1 + 1 = 2, God plus me, he must love me. No, it's got to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? You just ask him, Holy Spirit, will you reveal it to me? Show me about the love of God. There's something powerful that happens when you realize God loves me. It changes you. It changes everything about you. When you get that revelation of Jesus, see, the enemy is trying to keep your eyes on you. He's trying to get you to focus on you. Who do you think you are? What have you done? And none of us measure up. All we have is attempts and intentions, and we tried, and sometimes it didn't even try. He wants to get your eyes onto you, but the Bible says, man, if you'll look, keep looking at Jesus, God has been so good to us through Jesus. And there's a revelation that comes. It'll change how you shop at the store. It'll change how you shop at the Walmart. Yeah, that's what it did for me. I remember that day. I remember the day I got a revelation of Jesus Christ. I grew up in church, but I didn't always know that God loved me. Didn't have that revelation. I didn't realize he loves me. I was like trying to earn his favor, trying to work hard at it, trying to be as good as I could, right? So I'm in the church. I'm working for the church, and I was, you know, volunteering. And I didn't realize it, but I was trying to like earn his favor. How do you do that? You become the number one volunteer in the youth department. That was me. How do I know I was number one? Because I was keeping track. I was showing up at more stuff. I was keeping attendance, just giving my best, just working hard. And I thought if I worked really hard that God would be pleased with that. And then the day came, I realized God just loves me. And you think to yourself, you mean I was working hard like that for what? Felt like I was trying to build my own kingdom. But then when you realize God's been so good to you, you quickly switch over and you realize everything I have is for his kingdom. Everything I have is for your glory. Right? It's that heart of serving. But it came down, though, to one day. Why don't you turn with your Bible? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. I want to talk about Jesus a little bit more today. Is that all right? I think there's something else there in the story of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5. So Romans is another book by the Apostle Paul. Again, it's another intellectual book where he's writing out, starting out about redemption and the story of Jesus Christ. He says in Romans chapter 1, he said, there's so much power and just in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's the power in the raising of the dead. There's power in the telling of the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he just begins to talk to us about being set free from sin. And he comes into Romans chapter 5. There's one day in particular, I was reading verse 15. Romans 5, 15, it says, the free gift is not like the offense. So if we would spend time reading the entire chapter, we would know he's talking about Adam. Adam's transgression in the beginning. Verse 11, it says, Adam transgressed, and because of Adam's transgression, sin came to every single one of us, every single person. How did sin attach itself to you? You were just born. Sin was imputed to you. That's who you were. That was your nature. He goes on to say the free gift. What's the free gift? The free gift is salvation. Anybody in here, did you pay for salvation? Anybody in here, you spent a whole weekend being really nice? That's how you got born again. Where are you? Anybody, you it was deeded down from your grandma. Your grandma was great. Anybody in the crowd? Did you work for it? Did you pay for it? That was a free gift. You heard about it. Come on, is God great? He does the work. He tells you about it. He gives you the grace to hear it, to receive it, to accept it. He comes into your life. He gives you gifts. You ask him to help him use it. He gives you opportunity to use it. He does all the work. You just keep responding to him. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, a little bit of an understatement there, don't you think? Everybody died, right? How did this happen? Genesis 3, right? God put man in the garden, stay away from the tree. How long before they went to the tree? We don't really know, but evidently it was fairly quick. They go to the one tree. There's tons of trees you can be a part of. Tons of them. Tons of them. There's one to stay away from. One they go to. And immediately everything changes. So now they're kicked out of the garden, right? Cut off from God. But God gave a promise. Come on, the time is coming. The seed is going to come. He's going to crush you. And immediately, the very next chapter, you begin to read, this person lived so long, they died. This person lived so long, they died. This person lived so long, they died. You didn't see that before the offense. You didn't see sickness before the offense. It all comes in as a result of the fall. God is not behind sickness. He's not the one doing sickness. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Not one single person came to Jesus sicker than when they arrived. Everybody got healed. But we see here, though, much more, right? For the by the one man's offense, many died. Everybody died. Sin came and impacted every single person. Much more. Everybody say much more. Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. What does that mean? Well, sometimes in the King James Version, we don't always know. Do you like reading other translations? Something great sometimes about other translations brings something to life. So I remember just one day, just I had a book about different translations, and I saw this verse, and I started to read this verse, and I was intrigued with that. What does this mean? So I found a couple other translations here. Let me read this to you in the Amplified. Amplified translation said, God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. Out of proportion. For if many died through one man's falling away, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to the benefit of many. We start to get a picture here, what the Apostle Paul is comparing. What did you lose because of sin? What did you gain because of Jesus? This is what he's comparing. This is what he's talking about. Through the offense, through sin, many died. If we wanted to, We won't, but if we wanted to, we could take time today and spend all day long getting anti-testimonies from anybody in the crowd. Anybody have something go wrong? Oh, man, just line up and let's start to tell the story. Anybody make a mistake? Oh, yeah. Anybody make a mistake you don't even want to remember? Oh, yeah. Don't raise your hands. Anybody just blow it big time? Anybody just rude to you like a life-altering, just move to another state, move to another world, can't stand them, move to the other side of the street? Oh, they did you wrong. No fun telling these stories, are they? Paul says, because of sin, many died. Aren't you glad God didn't leave us right there? Amen. Aren't you glad we're not going to pray and send you home? And on that note, thank you, Jesus. Hey, let me read another passage for you. This is the Lovett. Lovett paraphrase says, the free gift that comes to us through Jesus Christ far exceeds any damage done by Adam's fall. Mm-mm-mm. Far exceeds. Say it with me. Say far exceeds. Far exceeds. Hold on a second. I'm starting to see something. Let's read another translation. The Weymouth says, God's free gift immeasurably outweighs the transgression. Hold on a second. Immeasurable. Can you count immeasurable? Far exceeds. Let me read one more for you. This one's a little wordy, the James Hudson paraphrase. He writes, Adam is the type of the coming Savior, but what a difference. The free gift of justification is not like the transgression. For if through the transgression of one the whole of mankind died, God's grace and the gift of justification given in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, was much more abundant in its effects upon the whole of mankind. Or they are unlike in that whereas Adam's sin brought sin, condemnation, and death, through Jesus Christ came grace, a sentence of unmerited favor. Acquittal, justification, life. Justification surpasses Adam's transgression in the quantity of its effects. Adam's transgression brought universal death, but the free gift of justification and God's grace and Christ's kindness more than repairs this in blessing. Whew. That's the gospel. What Paul is comparing, what did you lose because of sin? Now, what did you gain because of Jesus? And Paul is saying, what you gained through Jesus does not compare with everything you lost. It's not just even out your loss. He says it immeasurably outweighs. It far exceeds, more than repairs in blessing. This is what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. More than repairs. That phrase jumped out at me. Man, I like that. More than repairs. Say it with me. Say more than repairs. Right? When I think of repair, I think of trying to put something back together. Right? So I'm the dad now. I got two boys, two amazing boys. They are 9 and 7. Let's see. I got a little photo. Here's my family right here. Can you see that? If you can't see it, come see me after service. I've got some photos to show you. Evidently, I have 17,579 photos. Or maybe I'll just show you the 3,356 favorites of my boys. How much time do you hear? Don't you love this little guy making faces on the plane? So when something breaks, right? Come on, Dad. We gotta take it to Dad. We gotta bring it to Dad, right? I'm the fixer, and man, I love doing that. Growing up, there at the house, you know, the fence fell apart, and I don't really know how to put it back up. I know how to take it down, though. So I took the fence down, and after a little bit, they came to me and said, hey, we want that fence back up, right? So I put the fence back up, right? Did the best that I could, right? Viewed from a distance of several feet. That's my phrase. Just kind of squint your eyes. If you're going to examine my fence, why don't you go across the street? That's yeah, from there, it looks good. It's standing. And even then, why don't you just squint your eyes so it looks a little blurry? I remember we had a door there in the garage, went to the outside, and came time to replace the door. It was hollow, and it seemed good. Let's put a solid wood door there. Well, I've never done doors before. This is a while ago. This is in the day and age of the Sears books. It told you how to do things. You remember those books? Anybody still have those books at home? Yep, there you go. Now we just YouTube stuff, right? Watch a couple YouTubes. I think I can do that. So I look it up in the book, and it's talking about replacing the door jamb. Well, that sounds like a lot more work than I want to. What if I just replace the door? That sounds good. $100, put the door. Well, the door doesn't fit, right? I guess the house is like moved a little bit, but it's close. I know how to sand things, so I just sand away on the door, on the sides, on the long side, and I put it up. I'm getting closer. I'm on the right track, and I sand some more and do it again, and I'm getting closer, and I'm really close. I just now have just about foot and a half, 2 feet of the bottom of the door. If I shave a little bit more of this, it's going to be good. Now, I'm a thinker. Anybody in the room, where's my thinkers? We just get lost in thought in the middle of a drive. Anybody just lost in thought while you're driving and you don't remember if you stopped at that stoplight? I don't remember how I got home today. Did I stopped at the lights, right? I think I did. Sometimes I just get in my own thoughts, and I'm sanding away, and I'm getting to the next job, right? And how long have I been sanding? I don't know. I've been sanding this much too long. Whoa, what happens? I put the door up, and I went way too much, right? I got like an extra more than a quarter of an inch on the, oh, no. Oh, great. Now it fits, but right, I either start over or I hang it. So I hung it. I'm not doing this again. I'm spending another $100 on a door. I need another door. Same thing you gave me last time. What happened, Donna? So I hung the door, and I'm telling you, every time I came back to that garage, that door talked to me. You know what I'm talking about? No one in the house knew, but every time a garage door opens up and that door is looking at me, the door's like, you know what you did to me? Sunlight's pouring through the door. I can tell it must have rained in the last week, right? It's letting all the rain in. Right, when I think of repair, I think of like, okay, right? A little bit close, right? But when Jesus comes in to repair your life, more than repairs, he's not using duct tape to put you back together. Come on, when you come to him, he doesn't look at you and say, wow, you made a mess of things. Huh. Tell you what, we'll get you halfway, and then when you get to heaven, we'll, no, he says, any man be in Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Get out of here. All things have become new. He said, I make all things new. So on this day when I read this verse, something jumped on the inside of me. I think it's jumping on the inside of some people here today. Oh, whoo, something great happened in salvation, greater than you realize. I think we're telling the Easter story wrong. We see Jesus go down, Jesus come up. Yeah. No, he raised me with him. So I knew immediately I want to apply this in my life. I applied it to the biggest thing. So I told you about my father, but then when I was 16, my father passed away. Got sick, died really quick, and it was just a rough thing to go through. It's no fun to be there. You've never gone through it in your life, and nobody around you really knows what to do, what to say either, right? You are a party killer everywhere you go. You just walk in the room, and you ruin the moment for everybody. It's no fun. It's a miserable place to be. And so I felt like people were talking about me. There's the young guy that's the guy whose dad passed away, right? And it just stays with you. You remember the time of year. You remember the date. You remember the story. You remember everything. And immediately, as soon as he passed away, the enemy came in on me and just started to tell me, you won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. You won't be able to do this. You're not going to have that. You're not going to have this. The minute my father passed away, the enemy comes to steal hopes. And I thought he was right, and I bought everything he was selling. And so when I struggled, and so over the course of the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, life was just a struggle. It was just lack everywhere, right? I wanted a car a couple years later. Well, I can't qualify because I don't have a dad, right? So I was just looking for a piece of junk. And that's what I got, right? It's an embarrassing car, horrible car. It's an old Chevy Chevette, right? No air conditioning. That's terrible in Tulsa, right? It's so embarrassing. Such a bad car. I didn't even want to go out on any dates in this car. I'm not taking a girl in this car. So bad you park behind the Walmart, not at the back of the Walmart. Got pulled over one time, and the police officer was like, you were speeding. I was like, officer, I don't think it'll go that fast. You get in it. Can you drive it? See if you can get it to 65. Hatchback is bouncing around. I got a bungee strap keeping it back there, you know. I was driving down the highway one time, and I look in the rearview mirror. I'm like, something's different. I can't tell. The hatch came loose, and it's just wide open. How embarrassing is that? Go to Quick Trip, and I want a soda, right? So I didn't, like, walk it through, but I was an orphan, saw life as an orphan, right? And the cry of the orphan is for more, right? Isn't that what Dickens wrote? Please, sir, can I have some more? And that's the cry of the orphan from a position of, can I have more? Not from a place of, man, I want more, you know, from authority, but please, just lack everywhere. I was working at a shoe store, selling shoes, going through Bible school, and got a bonus check at Christmas, and the drive to the bank to put the deposit in the bank. My car broke down, took the whole check. And a year later, the same thing happened. Got a bigger bonus and a bigger problem on the car. Going to Quick Trip, filling things up. And you view life from lack. I want everything that's coming to me. You know, people are trying to take things from you. So I'm filling up the Coke there at the Quick Trip. I want the whole thing. Trying to rip me off. I'm taking everything, right? I'm filling the Coke all the way to the top. Fill it up so full that the lid floats on the top, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's 99 cents, and I want 99 cents of it, right? Put that lid on, and the Coke pops up to the top. That's mine. I'm taking it. I'm drinking the whole thing. Now, I would not, you know, put it back and drink and put it back and drink. That's not right. But I want everything that's coming to me. You know, you're on the plane, and it followed me into being a traveling minister. I've been traveling for 20 years now. So I'm traveling out on the road and just lack everywhere. I drove everywhere. So my car, the one Honda I had, went to 497,615 miles. I didn't know how to get rid of it. I don't know what to do. My friends are like, that's a great story. I'm like, I'm trapped. I don't know. And I got two suits and two shirts. That's all I got. And the suits start to break down. As long as I don't open up the suit, you don't know. It's all ripped and torn and looks sharp on the outside, right? The great thing about traveling is I can get away with it. All I have to do is keep track of which tie I wore the year before. You don't know this. I wore the same thing last week, but you weren't there, right? That's what you do. You just see lack everywhere. until the day I read this verse. Yes, yes, yes. You get a revelation of Jesus and it changes everything immediately. And so I didn't have a written list of what I lost when my dad died, but I had a mental list. Every year it came around again. After 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you quit telling people the story, but just it stays with you. You remember that date. You remember that time. You remember that. This is the season. It's coming up again next month. And sometimes I would like even pause like on the minute, the moment that he died. Just stays with you. So the enemy comes into your life and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus told us in John 10:10. And I finally figured out what the enemy does. He finds something logical that happened in your life, factual, and then he tells you, because this happened, I'm going to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to find something that actually happened to you. No, he just wants to steal, kill, and destroy. It doesn't matter what you've been through. He's trying to get you to agree with him. You're right. You're right. I'm an idiot. You're right. I don't deserve anything great. Go back to the story. He raised us up together with him, made us sit together. So I started to march around the house. I liked the more than repairs. I liked the far exceeds any damage. I liked the immeasurably outweighs the transgression. So I said to myself, what Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs everything I lost when my father passed away. And then I said it again. What Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs everything that I lost when my father passed away. What Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs, more than repairs, more than repairs, more than repairs. So this is meditation. This is meditation. This works for you. Right? You're meditating already all day long. Would you consider meditating on something different? Jesus did for me on the cross far exceeds, far exceeds, far exceeds, far exceeds. Something great about saying it out loud. It just gets your voice louder than your own brain, louder than your own mind. You got to keep speaking to yourself. What Jesus did for me, what Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs. 20 minutes I kept marching back and forth. 20 minutes, right? 20 minutes. It's not long. 20 minutes. By the end of 20 minutes, I'm telling you, I was like, what Jesus, come on, a little swing on the step. What Jesus did for me on the cross more than repairs, far exceeds, immeasurably outweighs everything I've ever been through. And something happened just after 20 minutes. I'm telling you, something changed on the inside of me. I felt like a chain snapped on the inside. And I would tell you, I've never been the same since. He took away that identity of, you're no longer the young man whose father passed away. You're my son. Oh, when he speaks that to you, what Jesus did for you on the cross, more than repairs. Say it with me. Say more than repairs. More than repairs. Far exceeds any damage. Say it with me. Far exceeds any damage. Immeasurably outweighs. Say it with me. Immeasurably outweighs. This is what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Something powerful happened. See, up to that point, I understood, yeah, I know, I'm born again. I'm someday when I get to heaven. But to me, the mountain was, you don't understand, my father passed away. And in that moment, 20 minutes of meditating, those two pictures swapped places. What Jesus Christ, he did for me. Oh, I got it made. I got it made. I've got it made. Far exceeds, and all of a sudden now what happened to me became so small, right? We're not pretending something bad didn't happen to you. But what we're saying, what Jesus did for you is so much greater than any sin, any mistake, anything you've done, somebody did to you, something happened near you, around you, because of you, for you. What Jesus did for you on the cross is greater. God has been so good to us. He's been good to us through Jesus Christ. So now we understand when Paul says, oh, he's rich in mercy. He took all of your sins, put them on Jesus. Because of his great love wherewith he loved us when you were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with him, made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards you. Come on, the Holy Spirit wants to change your story, change your testimony. And I got a revelation of that. Oh, it changed my whole life. Changed how I shop at the Walmart. Changed how I drive in traffic, right? I'm one of those famous December 22nd, December 23rd, December 24th shoppers. Where are you? Where's my fellow last-minute shoppers? Yeah, yeah. Might be a few more of us than they don't quite want to admit. And I remember that year just sitting in traffic, surrounded by the people, right? We would appreciate it if you're already done shopping. Just stay home. Just leave us be. We need to find stuff. Right? There's a desperation to us. Nothing says I love you quite like a last-minute stop at the Quick Trip on the way to your house for Christmas. Did you get this mug from Wawa? Where'd you get this from? And I remember just sitting that desperation, that traffic, and I remember thinking to myself for the first time, God loves this person and that person and this person and that person. I remember just a couple of months ago walking through the Atlanta airport on the way to a meeting, just thinking about the mercy of God, and I'm just passing all these people. He's been merciful to this guy, and to this person, and to you, 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 and to you. Every single person I'm walking by, I'm thinking, there's a story here. God has been merciful to all of us, every single one of us. God loves us. He's been so good to us. It changes everything about us, changes who we are. And it changes now our heart to serve. It changes how we work with people. See, you need a revelation of Jesus Christ if we're going to work together. Because when you work with people, there's going to be an opportunity to get offended, right? I was in the youth department for 11 years. Great opportunities to get offended and want to quit. Well, I'm not doing this again. Why are they doing that? Why are they saying this? Why are they? No, you need a revelation of Jesus, right? Had wonderful opportunities in that 11 years to offend other people, cause them to want to quit. Oh, no. And so what we just do is we just begin to apply the blood of Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. And so the most interesting thing happened over the course of the next couple of years for me on that revelation. I found myself just praying more, reading more, just talking to God more. God, you've been so good to me. You've been good to me. You've been good to me. See, this is praise, and what happens is he gives you a revelation of him, and then you give it back to him in praise and in worship, and then he just continues to show you who he is. Oh, you've been good to me. And he's like, hold on a second, there's even more to that. This is why David prophesied in Psalms, with long life he'll satisfy you and show you his salvation. It's because there's so much richness and goodness and salvation, you need a long life just to keep experiencing it and receiving it. You've never come to the end of, well, your salvation benefits are up. It's never happened before. He's rich in mercy, his great love towards you. He's been good to you. Thank you for Jesus. And so it changes everything about us. I thought there were things about me that I was just quirky, you know. I thought I was afraid. I thought it was just me. I'm just different. No, it was fear. And I begin to apply that same verse. Well, in the name of Jesus, all these old memories came back. Things that I forgot about, like repressed memories, embarrassing things. All of a sudden, they started to pop up out of nowhere. And I just began to say, the blood of Jesus, more than repairs. Yeah, more than repair that. I was embarrassed that time. More than repair. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Repair that to them. Repair that to them. See, up to this point, I was like a perfectionist. I hated mistakes. Hated them. And the only thing that's helped me with perfectionist was this verse, knowing that God has been so good to me. It's the only thing that broke fear in my life. Up to that point, I always kept track of mistakes, right? I'm a champion speller. I won the school spelling bee. When I was in fourth grade, I spelled the word outrageous and then monosyllable to win. I beat the principal's son. Yeah, it was a big deal. He was like 3 years older than me. I got to sit at the back of the bus with the cool kids on the way home. However, I could tell you every word I ever missed, too, right? In the city spelling bee, I missed transferred. It's F-E-R-R-E-D. Right when I was in fourth grade, I missed prairie. Third grade, I missed ceiling. Right, sixth grade, I missed therapeutic. That wasn't my fault. The lady had a New York accent there in Oklahoma. Therapeutic, not fair. And then in seventh grade, came down early. I'm ready to win, and the moderator says we have room for one more speller, and I was like, well, I know somebody, you know, my good friend back in class. She's a good speller. We'll go get her. So I ran up to get her. Do you see where the story's going? So I ran up to get her. Saw her in the hallway. Hey, you got to come be in the spelling bee. I got room for one more. Oh, I can't do it. I'm not a good speller. Yeah, you're a good speller. Well, I'm not as good as you. Well, nobody is, but still come anyway. That's not what I said, but I'm sure thinking of it. Two spellers left, guess, her and me, right? She beat me. And I was so embarrassed that I had to fake being sick because I couldn't go back to class because I was the champ. Highly embarrassed. My family gave me when I was an adult, my family gave me a toolbox for Christmas. And one of those fancy, bright red two units, the nice drawers that pull out, something great. I got three older sisters, right? So I got all the tools from dad, and I at Christmas time, they're getting makeup or whatever, clothes, and I got the toolbox, yeah. Felt bad for the girls. Well, it came with a story. They got me this toolbox once, kept it at my sister's house, and somebody stole the toolbox from my sister's house. So when I open this up, they're like, somebody stole the first one, so we had to go get another one. And I'm thinking to myself, what is it about fear that's contagious? It jumped on me, and I thought, I don't want somebody to steal this one. And now that it's out of the box, it's bright red, everybody's going to see it. So this is embarrassing. For 15 years, I covered this toolbox with an old ratty blue blanket because I didn't want anybody to steal it. So for 15, I know, can you believe it? 15 years, right? I'm a preacher. 15 years, every time I need a tool, I do the same thing. I look up and down the street, is anybody coming? Nobody's coming. I go underneath the blanket. I pull out the tools, get what I need. I come back underneath the blanket. Okay. What is it about fear is so irrational? You don't think through. Anybody driving by is like, there's a blue blanket, something valuable is underneath it. He has no tools. He goes under. He comes back. He's got tools. I even figured out a half a bag of fertilizer on the top was the perfect weight for the blanket. So it doesn't, I don't want a full bag. I'm going to heft a big one. But a half bag is just enough weight to keep the blanket from, dropping into the water. So there's one day I'm in my garage sweeping and cleaning, and I'm muttering to myself, God, you've been good to me. You've been good to me. Thank you for Jesus. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw the blue. And immediately, what I love about the Holy Spirit is when he reveals something to you, this has been bugging you, immediately he's like, and I'm taking it away for good out of your life, never to come back. It's what he's doing with you this morning. He's taking things away. He's just lifting it off you this morning, things that have bugged you. Yeah, you're going to have to change your story. You're going to have to come up with a whole new thing. And immediately I looked over there. I started to laugh to myself. My goodness. I ripped that blue blanket off. Let it shine bright for everyone to see. Because what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross far exceeds any damage, more than repairs. So I remember getting back on the flight. We'll close here. Got any music or anything to play there, Dan? Any kind of worship music? Anybody want to play guitar? Do a little bit of worship? Got anything? What do you got? Want to come play a little guitar for us? Just a little worship music. So I got back on the plane. Right? The same plane where they charge you for a soda. They charge you for peanuts. They charge you for M&Ms. I remember when it was all free. You get on some airlines and they want to charge you. And they want to overcharge you, don't they? $2.50 for a Coke and I can get a whole... Well, I used to be able to get a 12-pack for $2.50. What's that now? $7.99? Give you a box of M&Ms for $2.50. And it's not even full of M&Ms. It's like half full. Right? And that orphan is like, I'm not buying it. You're ripping me off. And when you're the orphan, what you hear is, overpriced Pepsi, overpriced Pepsi. Who wants overpriced? But now I'm starting to get a revelation that I'm a child of God. I'm God's son. I am somebody. What Jesus did for me on the cross. And so I remember getting on the plane thinking to myself, I'm buying a Coke today because I want to. And that lady comes up the aisle. I see her coming forever. Overpriced Pepsi. And I'm like, right here. And something interesting happened. There's an empty seat and then a girl at the window. And I blurted out, I'll take a Coke. I'll take some M&Ms. And I'm buying whatever this girl wants. See, when grace gets a hold of your life, it begins to ripple out to your entire world, everywhere you go. See, that never happened when I was viewing life, you know, as the orphan. Never interested in helping somebody else out because I have lack in my own life. Something great happens to you. So then on the return flight, right, this time I'm on a full row. Now there's three people, and I sat down, and my brain's like, now let's not be offering for three, you know. 250, 250 times three, you know, they're ripping everybody off. Let's not do that. I'm like, no, I'm buying it again. I'm doing it for the whole row. 45 minutes into the flight, lady comes up, what do you want? I said, this is what I want, and I'm buying whatever these guys want. And something popped in the whole row. All of a sudden, up to this point, nobody had said a word. We just start all talking. It just changed the entire course of the whole flight. See, your world waiting on you to get a revelation of Jesus Christ. You're in the right place. You're in the right spot, and you're the answer. And that abundance comes through you when you get a revelation. Say it with me. Say, more than repairs. Say it again. Say, more than repairs. Come on, somebody in here on the drive home today, you need to mutter to yourself the whole way, more than repairs. More than repairs, more than repairs that, more than repairs that, more than repairs that. When the enemy comes to try to threaten you and try to remind you of your mistakes, yeah, more than repairs. Thank you. I'm going to apply the blood of Jesus to that. More than repairs that. Yeah, that was my fault. Father God, more than repair that to them. Repair that in their life and send them on their way. More than repairs. Say it again. Say more than repairs. Say far exceeds. Any damage. This is salvation. It's salvation. You qualify for abundance, not because of you. He made that change. On the cross, God put your sin on the cross, your curse, your sickness. Did he pay the whole price? Absolutely. He did the whole thing. He did it all. He did it all. Scripture says that he sat down. He didn't sit down because he's tired. Halfway, I got a little bit more to go. Gonna sit for a little bit. Hold on. No. He did the whole thing, and he finished it all. This is our testimony that Jesus is alive today. This is how you become born again. Anybody in here, you've never been born again, ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. This is how you do it. Just accept the fact that you needed help. You needed a Savior. He did it for you. Anybody at all. Say, I've never been born again. Scripture says if you believe that story of Jesus, will you take one more step? Will you just confess it? Father God, I need help. Thank you. Thank you that I'm your child. Let's pray over you. Father God, we just thank you. Everyone in the room is born again. So now we speak abundance and abundance and healing and healing and healing coming to every single person in the room. And a restoration of dreams, a restoration of hopes. Restoration, 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 restore, restore, restore. And strengthen. Father God, come alongside of us. Hallelujah. Walk with us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So we just speak abundance. We just speak abundance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. More than repairs. Come on, let's just stay there. Let's just meditate. Let's just mutter over that. More than repairs. More than repairs. Some of you in the room here, you just need to apply this. Father God, we just apply that more than repairs. Holy Spirit, is there a situation we need to apply this to in our lives? More than repairs. More than repairs. Hallelujah. We just speak abundance over them, abundance over her, abundance over him in Jesus' name. More than repair. Father God, would you repair that in their life? Oh, repair that. Repair that. Oh, repair that in the name of Jesus. Fear, you have no right. You have no place. Repair that in the name of Jesus. Repair that. 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 Repair, repair, repair. More than 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 repair. Oh, we speak abundance, abundance, truckloads and truckloads and truckloads of abundance. We'll take the whole thing. We'll take everything Jesus paid for. We'll take the whole thing. We'll take the whole thing, everything he paid for. We'll receive it. Show us what it's for. Show us how to use it, where to use it. We'll take it all. We'll take it all. Bring it in. I'm not sure what that is, but bring it in anyway. It's mine. I'll take it. Hallelujah. 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 And we'll put labels on it. We'll send it out to others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so good. You loved us so much. So much that you loved us, Father God. Oh, you loved us. This was your will, your intent, your plan. Father God, there's no one like you. We could search all of heaven and never find anyone like you. Search all the earth. We'll never find anyone who's been so good to us as you, who's been so wonderful to us as you. Father God, you are holy. You are gracious. You are good. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I believe that the Spirit of God has done something wonderful here in your hearts today. Hallelujah. So we just speak abundance over everybody of favor. And finance and ideas on the job and ideas with the family and ideas at home. Hallelujah. And abundance and abundance and abundance and abundance and abundance. And restore and restore and restore and restore. You got it? You got it? Restore and restore and restore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May I pray for you? Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this all right if we just take a minute here and pray? Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. As he worships, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for abundance and abundance and a restore and a restore and a rebuild and a rebuild and a restore and abundance. Hallelujah. And a joy, joy, a restoration of joy. Everything's going your way. Everything's going your way. Everything's going your way. Everything is going your way. Hallelujah. And as you sing and as you worship, oh, and a revelation will just keep coming and keep coming. And as you sing, hallelujah, the anointing will come forth. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. A restoration of joy. Hallelujah. Kohorat lida zanato rite laha vora manato kohozora tedity. Vara manato rite zahajanya tedity. Hallelujah. 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 Dan, do you mind if I just share that story just that I saw? Would that be all right? I think that applies to all of us. So when I was praying for him, I saw, it just came through, right? We just flew into Chicago to Syracuse, and they're like, it's going to be cloudy in Chicago. But on the whole flight, all I see is the sun. All right, and then there's a big blanket of clouds. And while I was praying for him, I saw him pop his head up through the clouds. And the sun is out. The sun is up here. We're going to be okay. And I think that applies to a bunch of us in the room. Yeah, we're down. We're looking. Yeah, yeah. And what he wants you to do is look up. Look up at Jesus. Look up at Jesus. Look up at Jesus. Things are going to change. Things are going to change in the room. They're going to change before the year is out. Things are going to change. You're going to notice a difference. You're going to notice a difference. More answers to prayer. More answers to prayer. Quicker answers to prayer. Does that sound good? Well, come on, you qualify. You're a believer. You can't help but believe. That's in your nature. That's who you are. That's in your nature to believe, right? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to let you go. We could keep on going all afternoon, but we'll just let you go. Hallelujah. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.